Amen. I want you to open up your Bibles with me, please, to the book of St. Luke. Yeah, Luke again. Chapter 11. And we're going to begin reading with verse 14. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. If you don't have a Bible with you, we always have the Word of God in lights. It's always lit up. The Word of God is always lit up at Ozark Full Gospel Church. Verse 14 of St. Luke chapter 11. And Jesus was casting out a devil. Did you know that the devil is terrified of Jesus? Demons are terrified of Jesus. In fact, the book of James says, you believe there's one God? Thou do as well. But the devil also believes and trembles. So the devil is all shook up about Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and this devil had a dumb spirit about it. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the one that couldn't talk, the dumb spake. And the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. That's a Greek indication to many gods. It's called the god of the fly, the god of Beelzebub, the chief of devils. That's another name for the devil. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. Jesus, show us a sign. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against itself, it falleth. House divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because he say that I cast out devils, because you say I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I by the finger of God cast out devils, see, it just takes the finger of God. God just needs to put his finger on a problem. No doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusteth and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished, all cleaned up. And then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. I want to use for a subject tonight the strong man and the empty house. You may be seated. There are four parables in this chapter 11. Probably the most powerful, most incredible parable is the friend that comes to a friend at midnight and he asked for three loaves of bread to feed the visitor that came during the night, the parable of the friend at midnight. Then there's the parable about the kingdom divided against itself. And then a parable about the strong man. And then a parable about the empty house. Or we could say vacant house. Now, I want to simply say tonight that if you're looking for a devil under every bush, you probably won't enjoy this sermon. If you're so eaten up thinking that you've got the power to chase down devils and kick them around, I'm too busy loving Jesus to be chasing devils around. Amen. In fact, I don't even want around me. If one gets in my face, I'll put him in his place in Jesus' name. But I'm not going to go out looking for trouble. Amen? One comes to me, I'll deal with it. Amen. Remember one time I was preaching in a revival meeting and I said, Lord, send me a devil. I was a young preacher and I just prayed, Lord, I was in a revival meeting. I said, Lord, I've never cast out a devil. Send me a devil. And that night, the place was packed and God couldn't count. He sent me 30 or 40 devils. They stood up while I was trying to preach, bad-mouthing me, cussing me, and I said, Lord, I said, send me a devil, not devils. And so I learned that that's not a prayer that you should pray for. But an unclean spirit is full of many disgusting, horrific things. And some of the things I will say tonight will shock you, because most people have a misunderstanding of the strong man and the stronger man, this parable. And so many of them have a misunderstanding of the unclean spirit going out and leaving a house vacant. And I'm going to share with you, and of course we know that a house divided against itself can't stand. And Jesus, what he did by the power of God his Father. And the devil ain't out kicking devils around. Jesus is out kicking devils around. You know, you don't beat yourself up. You don't help the devil depress yourself and hurt yourself, because then you're on the wrong side. Jesus Christ is very clear that if you're not with me, you're against me. If you don't gather up, you scatter abroad. And so I'm going to share with you, first of all, I want us to look at the national interpretation of this. And then I want us to look at the personal interpretation of this. There is a national interpretation, a national application to this, and also a personal application. The strong man that is armed, keeping his palace, is Satan. In this parable, the strong man is the devil. And as long as the strong man has his house in order, his goods are secure. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, and that's Jesus. When a stronger than he comes upon him, our Jesus, and overcomes him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusteth, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Now, how many would agree that that verse primarily is talking about Israel was against Jesus? Israel was not gathering with Jesus. In fact, Israel rejected Jesus, the nation itself, not every individual, but the nation rejected Jesus Christ. And so Jesus comes as the strong man. And he's going to come and he's going to conquer the bondage that Satan had over the nation of Israel. He's going to conquer the bondage that Satan has over humanity. Jesus is stronger than the devil. And when he came to Israel, he came to take back what Israel had messed up. Concerning the Sabbath day, he came to straighten that Sabbath day up. Concerning all the rituals and the pious spiritual attitudes of Israel, he came to say, how many would agree that the Ten Commandments belongs to God? Israel was proud of them. But they abused them and added extra commandments to that was absolutely unreasonable. God gave them 10 commandments and they made 300 or 400 commandments out of the 10. And so Jesus comes to a nation that is so full of pride. They have their temple. They have their rituals. They have their way of doing things. Talking about Israel. And they're really not interested in any revelation from God, because they think they've got it all in the Old Testament. And they think that the Old Testament, they've got it, they're caretakers of the Old Testament. They are the ones that take care of the Old Testament. And when Jesus showed up, he was stronger than Israel. Jesus come to conquer the abuse, the false teaching, the wickedness that Israel had involved itself in, thinking that all of its goods were in order. They had the manure, they had the Ark of the Covenant, at least at one time. They lost it. And they had the temple, and they had the commandments, they had the priest, they had the ritual. And Jesus showed up and said, whoa, 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 back up. You are abusive with God's treasures. And so Jesus comes as the stronger man, and he takes that which Israel possesses. In fact, when Jesus dies on the cross of Calvary, he strips Israel of their sacrifices of the lamb. When Jesus Christ dies on the cross of Calvary, the veil of the temple is rent. He does away with the holiest of holies, for now you and I, born again believers, Jew or Gentile, can enter into the throne room of God because we have the holy place and the most holy high priest that intercedes for you and I. And so Jesus Christ conquered the old Jewish economy. He didn't destroy what was good. He simply fulfilled that which was good, and he did away that which was bad. He was stronger than the old starchy, dry religious rituals. He came with a message: God loves you. God cares for you. You've got it backwards. The Sabbath day was not, God didn't make man for the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was made for man. You got it backwards. You're trying to put people under bondage. And Jesus comes along and stands at a lady that's caught in adultery in the very act in John chapter 8 and says, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. And Jesus Christ brings the message, a refreshing message, that God is a good God, and that this thing isn't about religious tradition or the different kinds of sacraments, the different kinds of ordinances that they created. Jesus Christ, how many would agree Jesus Christ is greater than the temple of Israel? Jesus Christ, greater than Solomon, their king. Greater than King David. Jesus Christ, the outstanding son of David, the miracle worker, the son of God. And he was stronger than the devil that had Israel under bondage. And Jesus Christ comes and he takes away everything that was destroying Israel. And he gave us the New Testament church. He gave everybody the opportunity. The ground is level at the cross of Calvary. Gave everybody the opportunity to come to him. And so in this first parable where it's talking about the strong man keeps his stuff, Israel was very, very possessive of their stuff. And Jesus Christ comes and says, no, it's not your stuff, it's my stuff. And the junk that you call your good stuff, I'm going to get rid of, and I'm going to redeem the good stuff. I'm going to put it back in order. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He put it all back in order, and he did away with the old Jewish economy. And he brought to us a new and living way. Amen? Isn't that good? Stop and think about that. That is the national. That is the national interpretation. I'll go to the personal application in just a little bit, but let's look at the second. The unclean spirit goes out of a man. And that's in verse 24. When the unclean spirit goes out of a man, how many know the man is a house? And when the unclean spirit goes out of the house, he walketh through dry places. I guess devils don't like water. Seeking rest. Maybe why the pigs went down and drowned themselves. Finding none, he saith, I will return into my house from which I came. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to himself other spirits more wicked than himself. And they entered in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now, if we look at this as a spiritual application, in fact, go with me to Matthew 12, verse 40. Matthew 12, verse 43 and 45. Matthew 12, verse 43 and to 45. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return to my house from whence I come out of. And when he is come, he findeth it swept, empty, swept, garnished, and he goeth he and taketh with him seven more spirits more wicked than himself, and they entered in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now here's the key that he's speaking to a generation. He's speaking to Israel people. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Now, if you look at this on a national application, you'll and some Bible commentators say, well, this happened in Babylonian captivity. When Israel was taken into Babylonian captivity, they neither had God or the devil. They were just there in slavery. I got news for them. God has never been out of Israel's life, nor has the devil. Try telling that to Daniel. Try telling that to people in Babylon, the saints down by the rivers of Babylon. The devil has not ever been out of God's people's life, and nor has God ever rejected or withdrawn himself from God's people. Maybe at a distance, but God is always available. How many know God is always available? And so there are those that say, well, this happened in Babylonian captivity, that the spirit came out of Israel, and then the demons are looking, you know, they're searching, and then when the demons come back, and they reject Jesus Christ, and the demons come in with seven more. And I will say this, when Israel as a nation rejected Jesus, they brought a sevenfold curse upon them and more. And when Israel rejected Jesus and wouldn't let Jesus into their house, then he turned to the Gentiles. And from that state on, it has been seven times worse for the nation of Israel because they rejected the Messiah. Now, let me put this in perspective. When John the Baptist came and he preached, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And John the Baptist is preaching that, how many would agree they did confess their sins when they were baptized by John the Baptist? And there was a certain amount of cleansing in Israel during that time. There was some demon activity, but it was around Christ, and Christ removed it as he began to give Israel the opportunity to receive him. The nation rejected Jesus Christ, and as a result, we have all this horrific history of Israel and all they went through because more demons than ever entered back into that nation, and they entered into a horrific time. The generation was horrific. And so that would be the national interpretation. But I want us to look at the personal application. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, a strong man has his goods, and that is the devil, Satan. But a stronger man comes along and he ruins the powers that's holding mankind at bay. Man is full of guilt, full of shame, full of bondage, full of sin. And Jesus Christ, stronger than the devil, came to tell the world, God so loved the world that he gave his son, Jesus, for your sins. Jesus comes stronger than the devil. And like a fury of God's power and God's grace, he come and he stripped the devil. He broke that strong man's back. He put a show of him openly. He stripped him and made him naked. Jesus Christ conquered the devil. He came, and by the way, the strong man is Satan. The stronger man is the attacker. And Jesus Christ was the attacker. He wasn't attacking Israel. He was attacking the bondage that was upon it. He wasn't attacking mankind. He was attacking the devil that had them pulled down. Aren't you glad Jesus is in an attack mode? Not on us, but on those things that hurt us. Jesus is hard on the devil. In fact, the psalmist said, our God is terrible. That doesn't mean God's bad. It just means in the eyes of the devil, he's terrible. It just means that God is terrible upon the wicked ones. And that was a phrase that the Old Testament saints used, that God is terrible, meaning that no one can hold up to God's power. God is incredible, amen? God is amazing. And so when Jesus Christ comes as the stronger man than Satan, he binds him, he tears him down, he removes the guilt and shame of mankind, he removes the power of sin. He comes and conquers death, hell, and the grave. He dies upon the cross of Calvary. He sheds his blood. He's the Lamb of God. He rents the veil. He brings access to every man, boy, child, woman, and child. He brings access to everyone into the throne room of God. They behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And Jesus came and conquered your hell. Jesus came and conquered my hell. Jesus came and conquered sin and the grave and death and hell, and he stripped the devil and he broke the powers of the devil and he spoiled his goods. At one time I was some of the devil's goods, but Jesus spoiled the devil's goods, and now I'm treasure in the hands of God. Now I'm treasured by the love of God. Amen. And so the personal application is simply this. Jesus Christ is stronger, bigger, more powerful than the devil. The devil is horrified of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came and he broke the strong man, tore him down, and he brought to us the joy of forgiveness of sin. And he broke the grave. He rose again from the grave. He brought great blessings. Amen. Look at Mark chapter 3, verse 27. Mark chapter 3, verse 27. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil its goods except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. How did Jesus bind the devil? How did Jesus bind the strong man? How did Jesus bind Satan? Well, he came to earth. God robed in flesh. He walked among us. He shared his word. He shared God's love. He preached the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He told us that God loves us. Jesus Christ, the very personification of God in flesh. And Jesus Christ dies on the cross of Calvary. He's our Lamb for our sin. He's our forgiveness. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our love. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our God. Jesus is our strength. Jesus is our stronger than the devil man. Jesus is stronger than the devil. He's the stronger man that broke the powers of death, hell, and the grave and rose again from the grave, and the devil cannot do a thing about it. Jesus Christ has spoiled the prizes and the things that Satan had. Boy, somebody right there ought to clear their throat and shout. Amen. That's just good stuff. And so Jesus Christ comes and he tears the armor of Satan down and he spoils his goods. He divided his goods. And the Bible says that he is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not, he that with me scattereth. If he doesn't gather, he scatters. And so we find that the strong man is Satan. The stronger man is Jesus Christ. And it was the same with the nation of Israel in its interpretation, and it's the same in our personal application. Jesus Christ broke the powers of death, hell, and the grave. Isn't that good? Yeah. Woo, praise the Lord. I said, isn't that good? And so we have the parable of the strong man who is conquered by a stronger man, the man Christ Jesus, God in flesh. And then he shares a parable with us about a house that is vacated. Now, this is where it's going to get sticky. Because it says in verse 24, when the unclean spirit goeth out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. And he says, I will return to my house. And when he did, he finds it all cleaned up and garnished. Now, let me say this right now, and I want you to listen carefully. It is not reformation that we need. It's regeneration. It's not turning over a new leaf. You can turn over the whole tree and it's not going to do you any good. It's not doing better. It's becoming a child of God. It's not going to church. It's being part of the church. Born into the church. Baptized into the church. And I'm not talking about a local body here. I'm talking about baptized into the person, the body of Christ. And he's talking about a change in life. He's talking about when the unclean spirit goes out. Now, let me just share. I'm going to throw this at you because you're going to say, well, you know, who? You know, there's a lot of people say, oh, the preacher cast the devil out. And you got to watch him because he'll come back and bring seven more and get in them. So you got to do something with them. You got to bind them. Well, you listen to me. There may be a little bit of truth to that, but very little. Let me say this, because when Jesus cast out a devil, he told him not to come back. What Jesus does is thorough. Hello? But listen to me. Now, in the words of Charles Spurgeon, we've always heard when the unclean spirit got out of man, and we actually think, well, it was cast out. It don't say it was cast out. It just says when the unclean spirit goeth out of the man. It's also in the 12th chapter of Matthew. It doesn't say the unclean spirit is cast out. It says he goes out of the man. Did you know unclean spirits are restless? Did you know you can't please an unclean spirit? Did you know unclean spirits are impatient? They're stressed, they're worried, they're fearful, they're discontent. And I want you to know there's times when people are too bad for the devil. And the devil just packs the bags and leaves. I contend, in the words of Charles Spurgeon, sometimes the devil just gets so restless and so offended with what's going on in his life that the devil leaves. And while he's gone, people begin to try to rehabilitate themselves. There's a season there, Satan's gone. And when they try to change their life, and let me say this, I'm all for getting help as far as, you know, rehabilitation from drugs. I'm all for drying out from alcohol. But I want you to understand that if you keep someone from drinking long enough, they can say, I had sobriety for 10 years, and I applaud that. Someone that has sobriety for 3 months, I applaud. That's wonderful. If someone can quit sinning for 3 months, that is wonderful. Good for you. I'm on your side. I want you to achieve a happy life. And, you know, by the way, before I was saved, I was a drunkard. I wasn't an alcoholic because alcoholics, you know, they attend them meetings. Drunks don't attend the meetings. And I was pretty bad to drink. And, you know, I've had my sobriety for 45 years. But the reason I've had my sobriety for 45 years is because Jesus Christ knocked both ends out of the gables of my heart, moved inside, and removed every demon from my life, and Jesus gave me eternal life. Jesus occupies this house. Now, I'm all for someone getting away from drugs, drying out, getting themselves straightened out. Good for you. I want you to do that. And it's awesome that you do that. But remember this. It's not enough to vacate the house, clean the house up, and get the house all garnished, swept, and clean. Because sooner or later, the devil will return. And when that devil returns, you better have Jesus meet him at the door. If Jesus Christ is not in your heart, the devil will walk all over you. Amen? Hello. And I think that's basically some of the things he's saying. Let me quickly make this statement. There is just too many people trying to live for God without being born again. Just too many people trying to live for God without being born again. There's too many people trying to live for God without the Spirit of God in their life. And I'll say one more thing that this may get me in hot water, but that's okay. Too many people are trying to feast on God's love without repentance. The book of Jude, verse 12, you can pick any chapter you want, but in verse 12 of Jude, it says that there's spots in the feast of our charity, spots in the feast of love. Now, I realize he's talking about false prophets and wicked people, but let me tell you, friend, the churches are full of spots that are feasting in love. They come to God's house, and they hear about love, 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 and they feast on God's love, but in their heart, they're full of wickedness, perverse, and their minds are full of clutter, and they have never repented of their sin. Sure, they might start paying a few tithes to the church. Sure, they might start cleaning up, get a haircut, you know, and get spruced up. Sure, they might start being sobriety and getting, feeling better. That's the house being cleaned and garnished. But unless you put Jesus Christ right there in that spot, you're going to be in trouble. Hey, listen, I'm all for getting cleaned up. I'm all for living for God. I'm all for doing the best we can. But I'm more for the fact that Jesus Christ needs to step inside of someone life and change their life, and the churches are full of people that are feasting on the love of God, and they've not repented of their sin. They have not got right with God. Hello. Amen. I know that's kind of hard preaching, but it's true. People come to church for a few months and then they're out. They say, well, I need to get back in church. They come and get in church. They stay for a few months, and then they're gone. Why? Their house is cleaned up for a while, but then seven unclean spirits return. And when they return, that unclean spirit brings seven more wicked than himself. Amen? Come on. I'm preaching better than you're responding now. I want to say this, and it's real important that you catch what I'm saying. Unless the strong man of the house, has been debunked and conquered, unless the stronger man of the house has delivered and brought to you the gospel, and you receive the truth and the gospel of Christ, until Jesus Christ moves inside your heart, you're just a clean house. You're an empty shell. If you try to clean up, you're just an empty shell. You clean your house. And you know what? Devils love to be in houses that are cluttered. Amen? If you want your life cluttered up, the devil will be more than happy, demons, unclean spirits will be more than happy to clutter up your life. I know a lot of people that's had their lives cluttered up by unclean spirits, by impatience, by things that are unholy and impure. And the Bible says that when those unclean spirits go out of a man, let me say quickly, I jotted this down. When it says seven unclean spirits come in, more wicked than the one that left when he finds the house empty, it could mean that they would be more wicked or sinful. Or it could mean that things will get worse and more miserable for the person. It doesn't always mean they'll be more wicked, although that often happens. But it does mean that things will be more unbearable for people who have come to the house of God, heard the truth, and walked away from it. And more horrific things begin to happen. Amen? I want you to listen to me, and please hear me out, because I love the words of Charles Spurgeon. He said, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, he chooses to leave on his own accord. He leaves. He lets up. He chooses to leave on his own accord. He takes the key with him because he's coming back. And when he comes back, he'll find the house all cleaned up. And all cleaned up don't mean nothing if you don't have Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of your heart. All cleaned up don't mean a thing if you don't have Jesus Christ residing in your heart, throbbing in your soul, touching your life, ministering to your life. Amen. By the way, when the unclean spirit returns, our body, according to the scripture, 1 Corinthians 6:19, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. According to 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the Word of God. According to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, there is a generation of religious people that go about pretending that they have godliness, but they have not the power of God. They're a generation of people that pretend to have what God, you know. I believe in the love of God. I believe in the wonderful grace of God. But we need to understand it was love that put Jesus on that cross. We need to understand it is love that breaks the back of Satan. We need to understand that you are not saved by love. You're saved because of love. God loves everybody, but not everybody's going to heaven. If we're saved because of love, not by love. And there's churches everywhere preaching love, 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 love. And if you even mention the fact that you need to live a clean life and let Jesus Christ come into your heart, hello, you even mention living right for God, and you start getting sticky and, well, I ain't going back to that church. I don't feel good. I had a guy catch me in the foyer one time and said, I came to be edified. I don't feel good. And I said, you're not supposed to feel good when there's sin in your life. Amen. But there's people, they hear the gospel and they hear the message. And then they, you know, yeah, love. Ooh, boy, sing and praise the Lord. But listen, love in the feast of God's charity of love, if you invest in the love of God and you're so saturated with love of God, but yet you still live in your sin, you may clean up your life. But until Jesus Christ becomes Lord of your life, comes into your heart, you're doomed to hell. Amen. There's people that just don't want to hear the truth. And the truth is, you're going to have a radical change by the blood of the Lamb. You're going to have forgiveness. You're going to have to be born again. Amen. Judy and I have had 7 children. I watched all of those 7 children but one, my boy, when he was born the first. The dads couldn't go in because we were contamination. And I had to wear this astronaut suit just to go in. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to have the baby at home the next day, and you're making me dress up like this. And the nurse, big old fat Bertha or whatever her name was, she got my hands down, scrubbed my hands up. She said, I declare, get them fingernails cleaned up. And I said, ma'am, when I get home, I'm going to get as greasy as a monkey, a grease monkey, and I'm going to waller all over that baby. She said, you better not. I said, I am. But I've discovered in the 6 babies I saw born, it's not an easy thing. It's pretty nasty and messy. It's pretty bloody. Amen? And I've decided I can deliver a baby. That's not a problem. I mean, come on. Just catch it. I've seen babies born. You just catch it. When the head comes out, you take 2 fingers, you go up there and just push down and go pop, pops out. That is, if their shoulders are not too big. And then if they're too big, you call the doctor quickly because you're going to have problems. What am I saying? I'm saying that being born again is not a little handshake at the altar. Being born again is not joining the church. Being born again is not tithing in the offering plate. Being born again is not coming, rehabilitating your life, having sobriety for 3 months. Being born again is not cleaning up your house, because when that happens, the unclean spirit will return and they'll bring a family with them. Amen. They'll bring a family with them. They'll bring a family that's got vulgar mouths. They'll bring a family of devils in your mouth, in your eye, in your mind, in your heart. The devils will come and bring people with them. The Bible says that they bring seven friends with them. I'll list seven of them. Then there's many different ones could go by names, but fear, worry, bitterness, lust, greed, uncleanness, lying. And there's a host of other unclean spirits that can come back. And the only way that you're going to overcome in this world is greater is he that's in you than he is in the world. The only way Israel was going to overcome, they had to accept Jesus. They were going to have to let Jesus in the temple. They rejected it. And because of that, Israel has faced so many horrific things in history because it was much worse. They cleaned up for a while with John the Baptist. There's a few things going. They thought they were clean, but they weren't clean because they were full of religious pride. And as a nation, they were rejected. You know, I believe as a nation, America is just about to the place of rejection when it comes to God. Someone said, oh, we can still see a great revival in America. Well, we could, but the truth is, there's more whoremongers and wicked people and sinful people out there in America that don't want to hear the God you serve, and they don't want to read the Bible we read, and they don't want to hear the gospel we preach. And so God's going to judge that mess. So I'm going to huddle down in my family with the blood of the Lamb upon the two side posts and the upper posts of my home. I'm going to hunker down in the love of God and the grace of God. Amen. America may have another revival. I hope it does. But until then, we as children of God need to get in close to Jesus. We need to get ready. We need to get ready. Amen. Hello. I've seen it all my life preaching the gospel. You get to hammering and get to preaching hard and talking about these foul spirits to go and get away from someone. And you know, they clean up their life a little bit. And next thing, they're back out of church and they're not serving God all my life. And I've seen people come to church and you can just see it while you're preaching, which ones turned you off. You can just see it. It's just like they went, yep, click, you're done. Boy, they liked hearing about the love of God and the glory of God. And whoo, let's shout and let's dance and let's praise God. Nothing wrong with that. Good for you. We need to rejoice. We need to praise God. But listen to me, friends. It's not just love, 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 love in our feast of charity. There's got to be repentance. There's got to be holiness. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. No one will see God. We've got to serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. And when the preacher preaches, it's almost like they get this smurf spirit. They get this smurf. How many ever watch Smurf? The kids have watched Smurf on television. And they get this smurf syndrome. You go to preaching about saying, la, 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 la. They're not interested in that. They just want to do what they want to do. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ comes inside and he's the only thing that's going to keep you in sobriety for life. He's the only thing that's going to keep you clean for life. He's the only thing that's going to keep you right. Amen? Because the problem is people, they dry up, they go to a drug center, they get dry, they get sobriety from liquor or drugs or whatever. And the problem is the problem's not treated. They're removing the symptoms, but they're not dealing with the problem. And the problem is a sinful heart. The problem is a mind that's corrupt. The problem is a heart that's not right with God. You got to have Jesus Christ in your life. People's got to be born again. People's got to be reached by the power of God. And that's what Jesus is talking about when the unclean spirit goeth out of a man. He goes out of the house, seeking dry places. He comes back. He finds the house all cleaned up. Jesus is not in there. He gets his buddies. They move in, and the worst state is seven times worse. It might be worse as far as ungodliness and sin, and then again, it just might be worse as far as misery and pain and heartbreak. You got to admit, these two parables are incredible. The strong man is the Satan. The stronger man is Jesus. And Jesus come to break the strong man so that we can receive the stronger man. Greater is he that's in you, in our hearts, so that we can have our house filled with God's glory. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? So tonight, I just wanted to share these parables with you. I hope you understand that these can be interpreted way out there. I mean, you can get into really weird stuff with these two parables. But I think I gave you the good, solid, stable, strong area. Do you believe in casting out devils? Of course I do. Do you believe that God, there are people demon-possessed? Yeah, there are. Just go to Walmart. They're pretty infested there. Amen? I mean, you can go to Walmart and see some real weirdos. Hello? And they think I'm a weirdo. You can go to Dollar General and you can't tell whether they're men or women. So that's not politically correct. I'm not trying to be political here. Amen? My little girl, granddaughter was born a girl, and she'll always be a girl. Amen. 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 And my grandson was born a boy, and he'll always be a boy. He's not 35 different sexes. Have you noticed there is a difference between the boy and the girl? Hello? Some people don't have enough sense to get out of the rain. They don't have enough intelligence to know what's right and wrong. Amen? Hello? They have to offer people $100 just to go to work. Fill out an application, $100 to go to work. And I'm thinking, it wouldn't have been that way when Dad was living, and I'd go to work without the $100. In fact, I'd pay him to work if I had to. Our nation needs worth ethics. Our nation needs to come back to the cross of Calvary. Our nation needs to come back to truth. But the truth is, it's not going to. You know, there's churches fasting and praying for great revival, and that's good. We need to do that. But please hear me. The problem is the stronger man is not taking over people's lives. And that stronger man is Jesus Christ. Stand with me. Amen. Hello. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can I hear a glory to God? Amen. By the way, I was preaching this morning about the disciples going through the cornfields, and they were pulling ears of corn. And I love what Charles Spurgeon said about how Jesus could have just multiplied bread for the disciples. He could have just gave them what they needed. He's the miracle worker. But he chose to let them pull the grain, rub it, and eat a snack on the way to the synagogue. And I love what Spurgeon said. He said, our Lord bribes no one to follow him. Amen. That's true. Our Lord bribes no one to follow him. And if we follow him for the fish and the loaves, if we follow him for riches, we follow him for any other reason, we're not following him for the right reason. In fact, we're an empty house. Our Lord bribes no one to follow him. I'm going to follow him. Altar's open. We're going to invite you to come. This is one of them sermons you say, no way, I ain't going up there. What, are you kidding? Ain't no way I'm going up there. We need to just make sure that Jesus is big in our heart. Do you know someone that ever cleaned up their life, but yet they went right back into the world? That's what he's talking about. The unclean spirit goes out of the person and then that unclean spirit comes back. And it doesn't actually mean they're going to be worse than wicked. The Bible says that the unclean spirit will be seven more wicked than the first. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be more wicked. It could be, but it also means their life will be more wretched. Their life will be more miserable. Amen. So you just heard the parable of the strong man and the empty house. And we want to make sure our house is full, because the devil will bring a whole family of trouble into our life. We need our house full of God's blessing. Altar's open. You come.